Of course I'm right. I'm Joe High.
Hold on, come on now. Yeah. Every time.
What you want? Anyone? Straight down the middle. It's Thursday, June 25th, 2020. You're going down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. He's Joe. Joe, how goes it?
It goes well, Brian. How about yourself?
It's going pretty good. It's going all right.
Good to hear.
It's been a quick week. Looking forward. We got another full agenda tonight. I think we're going to have about a five-hour episode, so everybody get tucked in.
Yeah, strap in and grab your drinks.
Yeah, we may have to do a intermission halfway through so everyone can, you know, go get more snacks and use the restroom and whatnot. But anyway, speaking of snacks and whatnot, what are you drinking tonight, Joe?
I have a pineapple guava orange juice mixture that I mixed with a banana rum.
Man, I got to start going to your bar.
You do.
I'm drinking coffee again, Joe.
Damn it, Ryan. You never had coffee, did you? No. I only ever, no. Never a hot drink.
When we worked at Ethicon, I would get the coffee down in their cafeteria, if you recall.
Oh, no, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about when we went drinking afterward.
Oh, no.
I
don't know, man. I think I'm trying to detox in a little bit.
If you're detoxing, I don't want to be that guy like, hey, don't detox. Don't do something good for your body.
But, right. So, but I am an alcoholic, so I will eventually get back. I will get back to the good stuff eventually. So just hang in there with me, folks.
Yeah. I guess you got to give that liver a rest every so often.
Right. And when I do it, I'll do it right, I promise.
Yeah, well, swinging for the fences.
All right. Well, let's kick things off like we always do. I'm not familiar with any. Oh, I'm sorry, you were saying?
I'm sorry. I was going to ask you if you Irish your coffee at all, but no, you didn't.
I'm out of the Irish stuff. I gotta get back to the party town soon.
Yeah, I usually don't think of myself as the devil on the shoulder, but I guess I am today.
You definitely are, man. But that's all right. Let's talk about Arbery or Floyd updates. I don't have any updates for either of those myself.
I don't either. I guess the only real update is that they're no longer rioting in the streets every day.
Okay.
Sorry, not rioting, protesting in the streets.
There
are no riots or protests in the streets.
Well, I guess that's good.
Yeah.
I wonder if they finally shut down the 6 blocks of that autonomous zone in Seattle. I wonder if they've shut that down yet.
No, they haven't. Well,
really?
I've been hearing about all the rapes and the mayhem. I think we were scheduled to talk about that at the last Thursday in July.
You're right.
Like, are we going to be talking about this? You know, in a year, I'm like, we're not going to be talking about this next month. And so,
right.
Well, we might just say, yep, we're not talking about it anymore. But
and unfortunately, I did not come across any good examples or any examples of propaganda this week either.
That's good. I mean, hey.
Yeah, it is good. But
I showed you some anti-propaganda.
Yeah, you did. That was crazy, Joe. I can't remember exactly the verbiage, but since it ended with something, something, motherfucker, I'm thinking that it wasn't a cartoon geared towards kids. But it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, the cartoons the kids are watching nowadays are pretty crazy themselves, and so we're always.
Well, but, I mean, you're not going to catch that on. I mean, that reminds me. That makes me think like that reminds me like an adult stream or a Family Guy type of a cartoon. It's sure. not, you know. Yeah. But yeah, that was just a. And for a cartoon, it was after a while there, it kind of got hard to watch.
Yeah. Well, maybe we should talk about
for people. For people not familiar, it was like a cartoon of it was like and it was like a. I hate that style of animation, but it's the only kind of animation that like kid cartoons have nowadays. It seems like, but it was like this big cop, huh?
I mean the new animation, as in like. How it looks like it's jittery and looks like it's computer animated or computer generated.
I don't like it, man. I want the old Scooby-Doo's and stuff like that. But anyway, it was like just this big cop, this big white cop just chasing down this little black kid and then strangles him. And I don't know if he ended up dying or not.
Oh, yeah, the kid was choked out by the cop.
Right.
Well, the cop was like, stop resisting, stop resisting. And then, like, another cop comes by, and the kid's literally, laying, not face down, but laying on his back, little X's for eyes. And the other cop standing over him saying, hey, raise your hands. The kid's dead. Raise your hands. If you don't raise your hand, I'll be forced to defend myself. And the dead kid's still there. The cop shoots him like 6 times.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure
that was not, kiddie cartoon. Fair enough.
No, and I think that it was more of a let's illustrate absurdity by being overly absurd. I mean, I can't imagine that the animator or the creator got his jollies off by creating. That kind of content. I think it had to have been more of like, hey, this is a representation of how fucked up things can be.
Mm-hmm. Well, but there are sick people out there, and some of those sick people might be animators. I'm just saying.
Fair enough, but that was not a one person that required an entire
team.
That wasn't cheap. I'm saying that wasn't cheap to do. That required an animation team, or at least voice actors and sound effects and all that. I would be surprised if that was anything other than just shine a spotlight on some injustices.
It is.
And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. I mean, I don't necessarily want, I wouldn't want my little nephews to see it.
I don't know yet,
like, but
I think there's something to that about being scared straight. Like, we talked a few weeks ago about, obedience and fear. I mean, if I were, a 6-year-old and I saw that, it would give me a moment of pause. And I think the specific infraction that the kid in the cartoon was engaging in was jaywalking. Mm. Talk about scared straight.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know how we got on that topic. We called it out as anti-copaganda in absence of having a copaganda alert section.
Yes. Very good.
There you go. And I think there was you had something that got you, I don't want to say hot and bothered, but bothered based off of, maybe the word triggered is the word we want to use. Triggered. Is that a good word?
Yeah, it's probably accurate. I don't like to think of myself as getting triggered, but it can happen, I suppose. And it's just again, this is the thing. You send me these throwaway things, and I guess I take them. I'm like, take them serious, and I take them and
ponder.
As I do, I jump down a rabbit hole with them. But yeah, you sent me this. You sent me this clip of this guy. It's a TikTok clip, and I got to get you off of TikTok, Joe. That's not healthy.
Yeah, TikTok is like a much funner version of Facebook, or more entertaining version of Facebook.
Fair enough, but it's just not healthy.
Fair enough, yeah.
We can talk about that. We can talk about more of that when we have our big
technology
alt tech show. Yeah, when we have our big alt tech show that we've been threatening to do.
That's gonna be the Brian show. That I'll just be sitting there.
Yeah, I've got to prepare and bring my A game then.
But yeah, tell us about the tell the audience about the TikTok.
Yeah, this is. I'm going to play the audio.
That's one of the clips for today?
Yeah, that's it. And that's one of the things for our audience now. We have the ability to play clips.
Wait a second.
Along in the show. So we can play the clip and then we can bounce off of it. So this is the audio of the TikTok video that Joe sent me, and I guess is what triggered me.
You were sent this video because you either said or posted on social media the following statement: more white people are killed by the cops than black people. There's 191 million white people, 42 million black people. You divide 191 by 42 and you find out there's 4.55 as many white people as there are black people. So in 2019, there was 370 white people killed by the cop. Again, 370 divided by 4.5 will yield the number 82. That's how many black people should have been killed by the cops if all things were equal, if it was proportionate. However, there was 235 black people killed by the cop. Divided by 82, the number it should have been, you'll find out that that's a number 2.87 times higher than what it should have been. There are three times as many black people killed than white people by the cops per capita. So there you have it. Now you understand the numbers. You understand what you were saying was wrong. You can stop saying that dumb shit.
Okay.
Yeah.
So when hearing this, this got Brad pissed. Just like, argh.
Well, first of all, I don't need some condescending, limp-wristed soy boy talking down at me like I'm a fucking kid, okay? That's all I heard from that video.
I recall sending you the video. He was not limp-wrist. He was a pretty hefty guy.
Yeah. But he was a straight up soy boy.
And soy boy, you have to define that for me just for good measure.
Well, having some
soy milk and a coffee.
Go to Google Images and do some soy boy searches. Don't do them now. Do them after the show. But he was a straight up soy boy. And but anyway, did you follow any of those numbers that he said? Really?
No. Not really.
No, I didn't either.
But like I said, it was a throwaway. So it was like, hey, this is, talking about something we've been talking about that's been in the news, and so somebody's actually doing some math behind it. Okay, we'll see what this is all about. I mean, but you're not questioning whether there's a higher proportion of black people killed by cops than white people, are you?
I don't know. Here, let's listen to a condescending black woman talking down at you.
You have a 25% higher chance as a violent white criminal of dying at the hands of a police officer than you do as a black criminal. Last year, a total of 9 unarmed black men were killed by police officers and 19 white men were killed by police officers. For those of you that aren't good at mathematics, right, you might be thinking, oh, but Candace, white people represent 60% of the population and black people represent just 13% of the population. It doesn't matter what percentage of the population you represent. It matters what percentage of the violent criminal community you represent. And unfortunately, black community commits a disproportionate amount of crimes compared to the white community.
So there's some more numbers. Those sound just as believable as the soy boys' numbers. So, I guess my overall point is, Joe, numbers.
No. What numbers? What numbers did she use?
What numbers did soy boy use?
I mean, she used in 2000 something, 18 white people were killed by cops, and that same year 9 black. But come on now, I mean.
What numbers did your boy use?
My boy used the number, the population of, white people in America versus black people in America, showing that there's a disparity, a large difference between the two. Then he basically did, you know, a pretty elementary, what's it called again? Basically using proportions and showing that, you know, one, that the proportion of African Americans being killed by police officers is higher than what one would otherwise expect. Your chick was just like, oh yeah, you know, there's a higher proportion of, one community produces a higher proportion of violent offenses. I didn't hear a number that said that. Maybe I didn't hear. You can play it again if you want, but please don't. Her voice is irritating.
See, I think right already you have a bias against Candace Owens. Well, so anything that she says, you're not going to accept.
Yeah, I will give you that. Yes. And so was your point – so let me make sure. Is your point isn't so much the matter that's being spoken about, whether the person who's delivering the message?
No, my point is
– because
I don't – let you're, me say. My point is – I don't know, but I know that these numbers don't mean anything to anyone because numbers can be sliced and diced any way to get any result that you want.
I will grant you they can be sliced, they can be diced, they can be manipulated. But once again, reality asserts itself always, and in no place more clearly than in numbers. So, I mean, there's, you know, if, let's see here, the best way to go about it. Okay, yeah. So, your answer is, your thing is, I don't know if there's a higher proportion of black people that are killed by cops than white people. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I know that there's numbers out there, but
I mean, we can find those numbers ourselves. We can pick a year, and I'm sure the FBI puts out stats as in terms of you know, number of people who were killed by the police in any given year, and so we can find that information.
Okay,
it's doable.
So, okay, we have the information. Let's say we have the information now. Like I responded in my text. What is the correct dividend? Which, because if you're wanting to, I would say that if you're going to
when you say dividend, you're not talking about, you know, money you get back from owning a share of company. You're talking about the bottom number of a division, probably. Okay,
yes.
Just making sure.
Yeah, because the first guy was counting all of everyone in America, all the whites in America versus all the blacks in America. Okay. Candace Owens is discussing all the whites who have had run-ins with cops and all the blacks who have had run-ins with cops, which that seems to be more of an accurate calculation than the first one.
I only heard her, the only numbers I heard from Ms. Owens were the 8 black men or 8 or 9 black men killed by cops versus 19 white men killed by cops. And now that I think about it, she didn't even specify that the white men were unarmed.
Boy, you don't like her at all, do you?
Oh, no. It's not a matter of not liking her. I didn't even know who she was until she had that video. Actually, I did know who she was. She used to have a job over at Fox. It's not a matter of liking her. I just think she has a very specific role, and she's not very good at playing that role. I mean, yeah. Like if okay. My thing is if you're going to be a black commentator, you should be sorry. If you're going to be any type of commentator, you should. I think people should after you speak, they should, you know, agree with you more than, you know, disagree with you. And I don't think I've ever heard anything that she said where I'm like, yeah, you know what, on balance, that's right. And she, you know, if you know, and this is for any black conservatives out there listening out there. Candace Owens and people like her make you all look bad. I don't like her, but she doesn't make it hard to not like her. Her voice is irritating. Okay, you're right. I don't like her.
Okay.
But I mean, I guess.
Let me ask you another question. 90% of people killed by cops are men as opposed to women. Does that mean that cops are feminist?
No, it means that they're men hating.
Is that what it means?
Of course. Duh. I mean,
okay. Yeah. See, you can have all kinds of fun. You can have all kind of fun with numbers.
I'm not trying to pull a fast one. No, but like, I mean, Yeah, I understand that, you know, yeah, numbers can be manipulated, but
numbers are horrible for persuasion. You're not going to persuade
anyone. Okay, I'll give you that. Yeah, numbers are horrible.
Most people aren't even that literate when it comes to math. And then listening to numbers being spoken at you
about,
is just their point. The only thing that matters is how it ends up, and how it ends up with the first guy was, well, obviously it's this way. And then the second one, it ends with, well, obviously it's this way. And people just, you know, your normal person is just like, well, they hear the first guy and it's like, well, yeah, that makes sense. He sounds reasonable. Sounds like he knows what he's saying. But then the people who listen to this, Candace, who's like, well, that makes sense too. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, okay.
No, I think in one, there has been the observation, you know, in one scenario, there's the observation where, you know, it seemed like every time you turn around, an unarmed black man is getting shot and killed. And so, I mean, that's you know, we can document that. And Candace Owens's instance, she basically just assumed, like, hey, and she basically assumed that, you know, a higher proportion of black people are of violence is committed by black people. And I don't think that's not a fair assumption. So, I mean, in hers, she requires you to make a leap that the other guy doesn't require.
So you think she just made those numbers up?
I don't think she made up any numbers. The thing that she made up was just that, you know, oh, we're all just going to assume that there's a higher proportion of violence that's committed by black people. That's the part she made up.
You don't think that's documented anywhere?
Have you showed it to me?
I haven't looked. Yeah.
Once again, we're both, we hear, you know, a factoid that sounds about right to us, and then, you know, that feeds the rest of the assumptions. And I think your two clips do a pretty good job of putting that in stark relief, where you can see, okay, in one example, you got the soy boy, which is a new term for me, trying to educate, and then on the other one you have what movie made Candace Owens famous?
There
was a movie that she was in when she was like, what, young, like 22 years old. And that's the only reason anyone knows her name. And I can't remember the name of that movie right now, for the sake of my life. But, I take your point that, yeah, I've never heard someone say, I've never said something and been like, yeah, I believe this. And then someone told me a statistic and I was like, you know what? I thought this, but now I don't. Thanks. So in that point, yeah. Numbers don't persuade.
Yeah, and again, this as we stated, you said you sent that to me as a throwaway. I took it and was like, he's really trying to change my mind, or he's trying to convince me of something with this.
No, I mean it was something that, you know. I just thought it was funny, and there it is.
Okay. Yeah. That was fun. You know what? If we came on here every week and agreed with each other about everything, it'd be kind of boring.
We can't agree that.
And this kind of conversation is what made our Thursday night outings so epic.
Well, that and they were often accompanied with beer and chicken and shrimp and whatever else, crab dip, steak.
Oh, right, yeah. Out of steak. Lots of shots of tequila on occasion.
Awful. Terrible.
But I digress.
Let's get smart on this. On this issue. That way, you know, we can we started the show with an open question, several open questions. Maybe we should see if we can run down some information and do this ourselves.
I think the problem is going to be that we're never going to agree on the correct calculations to use.
Well, I mean, but you know, through going back and forth, there's going to be some agreement we can come to.
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, I had never heard of until like last week a holiday called Juneteenth.
All right. Hey, who brought that holiday to your attention?
Well, I'll be honest. I was listening to a Greg Gutfeld clip, and he mentioned it, and then me never hearing it before, it didn't raise any flags or anything. So I just was like, well, whatever.
Who was that again?
And
Greg.
Greg Gutfeld. He's got a show on Fox.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think you mentioned it.
Yeah,
I told you, and I was like, man, I hadn't even heard of this until recently. Now, there's a good reason for that, as it turns out. One, I'm white. Two, I'm not from Texas. So,
You got two strikes against you, man.
I guess. So go ahead and because this is I went ahead and I went and looked it up and I did a little research on it, and it's really pretty interesting what it is and why it exists. But I will let you go ahead and explain that. Because I think you've done more research than I have.
Yeah, a little research goes a long way and makes you a little dangerous. So, Juneteenth is known as Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, Liberation Day, and Emancipation Day. It's a holiday celebrating the emancipation of those who have been enslaved in the United States, originating in Texas. It's now celebrated all annually on the 19th of June throughout the United States, with a varying official recognition. Specifically, it commemorates the Union General Gordon Granger announcing federal orders in Galveston, Texas on June 19, 1865, proclaiming that all the slaves in Texas were free. And that was order number 3, so to speak, to be exact. And I actually have an actual copy of the order number 3 as well on Wikipedia for those who are interested. And yeah. So you'd never heard of it, and you heard of it last week. Yeah. I heard of it maybe when I was my late 20s, early 30s, by accident. And I'm from Missouri, the Midwest. So
now, when I was doing research, it was you know, because the Emancipation Proclamation was before mm-hmm. that. I think a few years before.
Yes, and
that.
The thing with that is that the Emancipation Proclamation emancipated slaves that were in the rebel Confederate states, not in states that were still part of the Union. So,
okay, I had heard or I had thought that it just.
Sorry, you're talking.
No, I had just heard that. I guess I was under the wrong impression that it just that Texas just. You know, decided to ignore it for as long as they could, and then
that's exactly what happened. Yeah.
All right. Then I got that right.
And reading about it, they basically say, okay, you know, at the time, Texas was like, you know, kind of, you know, it wasn't the frontier, but it was further away from the central power of you know, the federal government, and so it wasn't until like 2-3 weeks after the war had ended that I should be more specific about my facts. But it wasn't until, you know, 2-3 weeks after the war was over that federal troops reached down into Texas and were able to start enforcing the orders. And so you're absolutely right. Texas just decided, hey, we're over here. And, yeah. So
they're going to act like they don't know what's going on. So, huh? Yeah, what? What? Proclamation? What? What are you talking about?
Federal barrels, freedom through gun barrel, federal gun barrels. Actually, we've talked about this stuff before. A long time ago, you were like, I think we were talking about states' rights. And I'm like, yeah, states' rights. Black people are always suspicious about states' rights because it usually is a stand-in for something much more sinister than states' rights. But that's a different topic.
So I'm guessing that, because I don't know, I mean, Juneteenth is a big thing now. Is it a big thing now because of all of the strife that we've been going through in the George Floyd aftermath, or what are your thoughts on that?
I would agree with that. I think had George Floyd been still walking this earth, you would not have heard about Juneteenth the way you had last week. All of a sudden it's cooler to be black again, because I mean, when you're walking down the street in DC, places that you'd be surprised to see black people in have Black Lives Matters signs on the windows plastered all over the place, pretty much to my mind saying, please don't burn my place down.
Am I mistaken in thinking that the Don tried to take credit for this surge in popularity?
Yes, he did. And I honestly think there's there may be something. Well, you know how it started, right? Because apparently the very first rally was going to be held on June 19th, and I think it was Oklahoma. And there was a big brouhaha. Because I think that was the same week that a massacre occurred in Oklahoma like 100 years ago. Black Wall Street was burned, and so him coming on Juneteenth at that location, some people got into his ear about it, and then they actually moved it to the day afterwards on the 20th. And so Mr. Trump went on television saying, "Hey, he made this this holiday popular." Or made people know about it in a way that people hadn't known about it before. And he got a lot of guff on that. Do you think he was telling the truth on that?
Oh, I mean, I guess technically, maybe not in a good way, in a Trump kind of way, maybe.
What do you mean?
You know, well, I guess by him bringing attention to it, then I guess it's true. But then again, Trump's.
Is it one of those things where you're giving begrudging credit? You're like, yeah, I don't want to. It doesn't feel good.
I don't know, man. It is what it is. I don't know.
I actually agree with him on that one. That he probably exposed it to a much larger swath of people would have otherwise known about it. I mean, it took Trump taking credit for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
So how did you celebrate Juneteenth?
In memoriam. Is that, I don't know if that's the right word or not. But I didn't even know, I didn't know what date it was until it had already passed.
I thought I told you that in the morning. Yeah.
Oh, did you? Oh, my bad, man. You did? Okay, you said happy. Well, Juneteenth doesn't tell me anything, man. Juneteenth, the music could be anywhere between June 10th and June 19th.
Well, you got a week to celebrate, man. A week and some change.
Okay.
Next time, okay?
Next week, it's on. It's on like Donkey Kong.
Well, do a big next week, next year.
Yeah. Next year, man, it's going to be a big it's going to be an entire week.
They should, this is on a serious note. It should actually be a holiday up there with Independence Day, in my opinion. Independence Day, Memorial, one of the major holidays. Because without that, it's the America we know doesn't exist. Without black people being free, none of this stuff makes sense.
Right.
So there you have it.
Well, I think there's a push for it. So. I don't know where everybody stands on the issue, but if it's going to happen, this is the climate for it to happen in.
Well, it hasn't happened yet, so I think every day that goes by is probably less likely to happen.
Well, the people that are for it need to not lose the passion for it. That seems to be what happens with a lot of things, you know. Everyone gets riled up, but humans can only exert so much passion for something for so long. So I don't know. Hope maybe someone is championing this and will keep pushing, and you know, maybe next year we'll have something. I don't know.
Well, that's fingers crossed. Something else for us to watch.
Sure.
But yeah. What do you think would be a suitable celebration? Like, you know, so for St. Patty's Day, the Irish, they get drunk in the street. Cinco de Mayo, you know, all of a sudden everyone's Mexican and you can't get a decent taco in town because everyone's rushing taco places. For June 10th, what would it be?
I don't know. I think it would be maybe, I guess, since it's coming out of Texas. I don't know. I don't know, man. Does it need to be anything other than
than solemn remembrance?
Yeah, some sort of a remembrance or acknowledgement of what happened.
I guess it's
I don't know. I mean, every holiday doesn't need to be an excuse to party, but I don't know. What would you like to see?
Yeah, I should stop asking questions. I don't have an answer.
Hmm.
Okay, that's dead air. Let's see here.
It's dead air.
Yeah, I asked a question before I had a thought. I should sit down and think about what would be a.
Well, you know, that's a question that deserves thought, and I wasn't going to be able to give a good answer off the top of my head, but you know, there's a good answer. Think about it, and I'm sure there is a good answer.
I'm trying to think, like, you know, I'm trying not to say anything that's obvious or stereotypical or just plain dumb. I'm trying to actually approach it with a serious mind.
Exactly. Yeah. Of course, there's.
Yeah, that could go south so many different ways, but we're better than that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Mm. Well, maybe we can. Put a pin in that one. Juneteenth celebrations.
Yeah. I mean, that would be considered a black holiday, obviously. What do people do with
a black holiday? Considered an American holiday.
See, there you go. I can't say. I knew that if I said something, I'd fuck it up.
But I'm that guy, too. So, a better person.
Well, how do people celebrate the American holiday, Martin Luther King Day?
Not enough.
Well, is there anything other than banks taking a day off?
There's a Martin Luther King sale for everything, a mattress sale, car sale. Not really, you know, and help work. I can't remember the last time I had a Martin Luther King Day off. So we know that it should be. Yeah, it should be, I don't want to say better than Martin Luther King. It should be recognized as a, I think it should be one of those federal holidays where everything stops.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, you know, yeah, the mail shouldn't, in my opinion, the mail shouldn't get delivered that day. Because it's Independence Day, you know, the country was born, Memorial Day. We think of all the, you know, the people whom we sent abroad to fight wars and die. Labor Day, the laborers, what other federal holidays? One moment.
Well, all of those holidays, I'm afraid, are just reasons for people to get drunk and party.
I mean, okay, well, Columbus Day, we can get rid of that one. There you go. No one gets drunk.
I fully expect that to go away.
Oh yeah, eventually. Yeah. They're already trying to replace Columbus Day with Native Indigenous Peoples Day or something like that.
That sounds I've heard of Indigenous Peoples Day.
A lot of words. Yeah. A lot of syllables.
Why can't we just call it, you know, Indians Day, Indian Day?
Yeah, I think that's a step in the wrong direction, my friend.
That's easier to say, right?
It also begins with I. So, and we all know what they're talking about. You know.
The Atlanta Braves could have a special bobblehead day. Right?
Yeah. I'm surprised they haven't been getting more pressure to change their name, like the Redskins.
Yeah, I think they gave up the chop. So it was like, fine, we won't do the chop no more. Leave us the fuck alone.
But every column that they, you know, the social justice folks come knocking.
Oh yeah, that's prime for the social justice warriors.
Speaking of just social justice, and I'm pretty sure, you know, this is not the vein in which you wanted to approach this, and the whole statute's coming down.
Yeah, tear it all down.
Now, which statute are we talking about? All of them? Yeah.
Well, here's the thing. You and I we discussed this earlier, but it may have been lost. But you expressed wholehearted support for tearing down statues of Confederate that represented Confederate generals,
every last one
or whatnot.
Confederate generals, yeah. Politicians, all that.
I can't argue with that. I guess it's reasonable, but unfortunately, as with all things, the fringe just have to take it to extremes, and now people just want to. They just want to take down everything. And
is no one safe?
Here's my thoughts on it, Joe. I have one final clip for this show. And it's I got this from an interview that I don't know who he was speaking to, but Robert Johnson, I believe he is the founder of BET.
Bob Johnson, yeah.
And this is he was asked about taking down of these statues and whatnot, and this was his his thoughts on that.
Look, the people who are basically tearing down statues, trying to make a statement, are basically borderline anarchists, the way I look at it. They really have no agenda other than the idea we're going to topple a statue because what? It's not going to close the wealth gap. It's not going to give a kid whose parents can't afford a college money to go to, it's not going to close the labor gap between what white workers are paid and what black workers are paid. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to take people off welfare or food stamps. You know, it's, people having fun that they can go out and pull down a statue and have the mistaken assumption that black people are sitting around cheering for them, saying, oh my God, look at these white people. They're doing something so important to us. They're taking down a statue of a Civil War general who fought for the South. Black people, in my opinion, black people laugh at white people who do this. With the idea that they're making us feel good is tantamount to rearranging the deck chairs on a racial Titanic. It absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. Now that record scratch in there was it was like a 2 minute. He gave like a long 2 minute answer, and in the middle he went and it was talking about he kind of got sidetracked a little bit. He brought it back there towards the end, so that's why I snipped off the beginning and the end and just kind of stitched them together. That's what that was about. So
listening to him speak, it makes me, you said the. He was a publisher or the founder of BET?
I think he's the creator. Yeah, the founder. I think he's the founder.
Listening to him makes me, I now understand why he had to sell out, because he's out of ideas. I mean, talk about being on the wrong side. You know, he's absolutely right. Yeah, you know, you tearing down a statue isn't gonna put dollars in someone's pockets. Not gonna put, you know, give someone a better job. But as a publisher of a magazine, he should know the value of symbols. And if there's a symbol of somebody who fought for the ancestors, the enslaved, taking down that symbol, yeah, it doesn't give someone a job, but you have done something. You've moved a bar, so to speak. It's kind of like, yeah, I can't disagree with him more that it does absolutely nothing.
Interesting.
Trying to think of an appropriate analogy. Probably why Bob Johnson doesn't go out and give more speeches, because he doesn't have very much good to say.
I can't speak to that. I don't know. I don't know what he does.
I know when he was, used to run BET, he used to, the scuttlebutt was that he used to always have a new young Howard co-ed by his side all the time, because the old BET facilities aren't too far from Howard University in Washington, D.C., but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I disagree with him. I think it does mean something, and it's just amazing that he doesn't see it. He doesn't see what it means.
Okay. So beyond the Confederacy, are you okay with all the other statues going?
I've only heard of people tearing down Confederate statues. I've not heard of people tearing down non-Confederate statues.
Really? What about like statues of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson or the other one, that Jew,
Jesus. That guy.
I mean, are we just down? Are we just take them all down? Or I mean, is there a line? Is there a point to stop? Do we take down? Do we need to change the Mount Rush? Does Mount Rushmore need to come down?
Confederates, they all need to come down because they were traitors. They turned arms against their country. That's unforgivable. So, I mean, George Washington and Thomas Jefferson, they fought to found the country. They weren't traitors to the country.
Were they slave owners?
They were slave owners. And that is part of the stain on the country, and a stain that would need to be atoned for. I don't think I can see where they're coming from. Oh, all slave owners were bad. Yeah, I would agree with that. Slave owning is never a good thing. Owning someone else's personage, never a good thing. But it did happen, and we do need to acknowledge it. And we need to acknowledge that the founding politicians of this country were people flawed in very many ways, but they weren't traitors. So yeah, Jefferson and Washington, they can stick around. But, Mr. Lee and Mr. Davis, Jefferson Davis, they got to go. Sorry. Those guys have to go. I don't necessarily see the necessity of Washington going, the father of the country, Jefferson going, author of Declaration of Independence. They can stick around. But I do think it should be acknowledged that, you know, who the slaveholders were and who weren't slaveholders. I think that's only fair.
Okay. That's a good answer, Joe. I can't argue with that. I think
who's tearing down statues of Jesus?
I think that was Sean King who suggested that, and he is one of the Black Lives Matter guys. Well, but then again, we've established, or at least I've established my thoughts on what Black Lives Matter is, and all these other things are not necessarily. I don't believe that Black Lives Matter represents all of the black people in America.
Yeah, that's why you should say this. I So actually, that was a really good example of me using restraint, just not saying something. Black Lives Matters, it's more of a front. I think we talked about this in the last episode, the episode in which we were changing lives and making the world better and solving the world's woes. But
yes,
Black Lives Matter to me is basically the Democrat voting bloc. So you got black people, women, young people, minorities, various shades of brown and yellow and stuff like that. And you basically get them all under one banner and try to lead them back to Joe Biden because Joe Biden's just not exciting to vote. So I think a better way.
How about this for a comparison or an analogy? In the 80s, it would have been Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, and now it's name just these are
because you can't trust a person because a person going to do something that makes the movement look bad. Like Jesse Jackson's going to have a love child, Al Sharpton's just shady as all get up. I mean, so it's probably a good thing they don't have a figurehead out there because then it would just be a matter of time until they got caught, doing something, touching kids,
right?
Something weird, bad, and then everybody would discredit the organization.
Yeah, I agree. Wow, Joe, we're moving along swiftly tonight, man. I think we're going to hit all our topics and still get to bed on time.
One last time, that happened. And here you were thinking we're going to have a 5-hour show.
Yeah, I know. So we're doing better. We're sticking to the points. Bam, 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 hitting the marks. Moving on.
Good, very good.
It's like we've done this a few times, and we're learning from our mistakes. This is number 8.
Wow,
that's right. Is it?
Is it the 8th one we've done, or the 8th one we're going to publish?
The 8th one we're doing, and I'm going to publish it.
Oh, wow. That's pretty aggressive. Speaking of aggressive, and
here's the one thing. Let's just say you have a brand, a well-known brand. Everyone sees your brand, and they know instantly what it is, what it represents. It's hard to come up with a good brand like a Coke, a Pepsi. Just when you see it, you instantly know everything there is about it. MasterCard,
Pepsi, Johnson & Johnson.
So yeah, exactly. They're just iconic. So obviously, what do you want to do when you reach that level? I guess you want to go and you want to change your brand or change your iconography, me, man. Right?
If it's not broke, why not fix it? What are you saying? That's wrong.
Yeah. So what have you got, Joe? You came across this and it was go ahead. I thought this was going to be a throwaway, but you done a little digging into this. So let's talk about the pride flag and how it's no longer just the four or five primary colors, but they're adding some more to it.
Yes, they're adding some more to it. And just a little background, it's not as if I'm sitting around, I'm like, you know what, I'm really passionate about these issues, this issue. So what really happened was I was walking my dog. And in the area of Washington, D.C. I live in, there's a lot of flags out. A lot of gay flags, pride flags. They also have a lot of people posting Black Lives Matters posters in their doors and the flags out their windows. And so one of my neighbors, I looked up and I saw a pride flag. And it was a flag that I'd never seen before. It had a black and a gray stripe go down the it was like a black and, let me see, a black black and brown stripe, and it just looked very odd. It was a new flag, and so I ended up looking it up, and lo and behold, who knew that each of the colors on the pride flag has a meaning? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
That's why you come to the rabbit hole. I mean, where else are you going to find this type of coverage? So let's see here. And according to this Wikipedia, which is the source of all knowledge and wisdom.
All knowledge.
Yeah.
It's the source of all knowledge.
Unquestionably true as well. We might well put that out there. if there's ever been anything that's been falsely printed in Wikipedia, that's news to me. So the flag means, okay, so colors on the flag. Hot pink means, why don't you guess?
Pink, I would say lesbian.
Nope, sex. Red.
Gay.
Wrong. You're 0 for 2. Life. Orange.
Love.
Wrong. Healing. Yellow.
Acceptance.
Sunshine. Sunlight. Green.
Earth. Mother Earth.
I'll give you that one. Nature.
Okay.
Turquoise.
Sky. Water.
Magic/art. My God. You're a freaking homophobe. How are we friends, man?
You're exposing me in front of everyone.
I'm sure you'll. You know, the roles will be reversed quite shortly, I'm sure. Indigo.
I've run out of intelligent guesses, Joe. Can we move to multiple choice?
Okay. Let's see here.
Yeah, that's going to make you have to think of four different.
Let's see here. Indigo could mean happiness, serenity, spirit, or women.
I like serenity.
Ding, 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 ding.
Woo-hoo.
Okay, I'm just a terrible maker of multiple choices.
Those are all good. I was going to go with spirit. I was going to go with spirit, but I just like the word
serenity.
Serenity more.
Yeah, that's a word we don't use much in everyday parlance, serenity or serene. Yeah. Okay, last one. Violet.
Spirit.
How do you know that?
Because it was one of your, I figured that you cheated when you, he was coming up with my four multiple choices.
Talk about being put on the spot. Well, I guess, once again, one favor deserves another.
Awesome.
So the moral of the story, kids, is that when you look at flags, there's a lot of meaning in them. But actually, I need to go to the new flag, and because there's some extra colors on there that weren't on there before. Let's see here.
You know, you sent me, or I guess you didn't send me, but it was in the article or whatever, the picture that was in the article of the flag. It reminded me of, like, I don't know, just, and maybe it was just the design of it, but it reminded me of, like, almost like Indian kind of,
like clothing.
Yeah, like Indian clothing or Indian artwork or something like that. You know, I don't know.
It could have been mistaken for like indigenous clothing.
Yeah. So do all these additional colors have meanings too? I guess.
Oh, yeah. Yes, they do. And I'm trying to find them right now. Because there's like black and brown. I think the original flag looked much better.
All right. I guess I don't know what that says about me, that I just assumed that, each coalition of the LGBT alphabet had a color that represented them. I didn't know that they were so esoteric, I guess.
Yeah, that's the right word, esoteric, because you see, it took Wikipedia to bring this knowledge to the people, right? So, I am annoyed at myself because, one second, it's like it's that thing that's annoying where you have it at your fingertips, but when you go to reach for it, it's nowhere to be found. There it is. Let's see here. It's an article. It's time black and brown people be included in the pride flag. I didn't know that was supposed to be. Let's see here. The new colors are, they are black, brown, like powder blue. Let's see here. Okay, it's a progress pride flag as opposed to the regular pride flag. It was designed. Its origin was in 2018, and it came out of a Kickstarter campaign. Where was the guy's name? Oregon-based artist Daniel Quasar designed it, and basically, yeah, it's now it's not supposed to be a replacement for the traditional pride flag, but it is supposed to more explicitly include black, brown, and trans people in the flag. And so,
okay, yeah. Okay.
So, but yeah. Man,
that's better. I'd hate that's better. There's no way they could have scrapped the original.
Yeah.
Entirely.
Yeah, it's funny because when you started talking about brands, I'm like, where's he going with this brand? I thought you were gonna go into Ancient Mama being gone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. Sometimes my segues are out there, man.
Yeah, literally, I was.
I go a long way for them sometimes.
Yeah, that one.
And actually, now that you say that, that would have been a better toss to the Aunt Jemima stuff.
Because I'm like, yeah.
But you know what? We're professional podcasters, man. We made it work.
Yeah, that's right. Call me the engineer. We make things work.
Yeah.
So, like, did we do justice to the pride flag? I don't know if we did.
Well, I.
Well, I don't know. The vast majority of people did not know there was a new pride flag. So,
if they look like that, and I would have seen one of those signs somewhere, I wouldn't have known what it was.
Well, you would have known it was something having to do with gay pride, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think the other reason I knew it had to do with gay pride is because the neighbors whose house it's flying on are gay, two men. So I guess that's why. let's restate that. Had you a neighbor, two lesbian women. And they were flying a flag. Would you better have been able to figure out how it was associated with?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. So it wasn't like I'm genius. It's just given the context.
Right. So. And I don't know where. And I guess in reality, where else would they be flying? Maybe in a. I don't know. Like a lot of times, restaurants that cater to that crowd make like their awnings or like those colors, and or they put that flag in the windows and whatnot.
They'll do that on their gay day. So like, there's a place literally around the corner from my place on gay day. I think it's Wednesday. They'll fly the colors, letting people know it's pride friendly day.
Okay.
Wait, can I say that gay day? Oh no.
Joe, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh no.
We're gonna talk about cancel culture one of these days. if we haven't been canceled, then we're gonna talk. We'll talk about it.
Fair enough.
It's a scary proposition, my friend. We should talk about that next week because it's. It deserves to be talked about. It's something that is out of hand and.
If it's out of hand, can you think of anyone who's been canceled who deserved it?
Well, I don't know that anyone deserves it. I mean, it's one of those things where it's like a suppression of free speech almost in a way. I mean, yes, we have free speech in that. The government is not going to put you in jail for saying the wrong thing.
Yeah, so Uncle Sam won't, but right, you may not be able to get a job and support yourself.
Yeah, but there's people out there who will shut you down and make you wish you were in jail just because you could get four, you know, three squares and a bed kind of a thing, you know?
Yeah, I can't imagine anything making me wish, like, yeah, you know what, Joe would be a better option.
Right. Well, but you get
I get your drift.
It was maybe a bad analogy.
Oh no, I mean you took it to the to the height.
Yeah, I mean I don't want to see anyone be negatively impacted just for words. I mean, you're as ugly as the words could even be, and I've not even heard any ugly words yet.
I think people can be canceled. Cancel her.
Would you?
I will cancel her every day and twice on Sunday.
I hope that you're joking, but I'm afraid you're not.
I am not joking, but it's probably for not the reasons you think. I think she should be canceled because she's a terrible example of what it means to be black and Republican. And this is coming from someone who's not a Republican. I am black, not a Republican. Her point of view cheapens every debate she's in because she's, you know, outlandishly cartoonish in my mind. This can't be taken seriously. And I think oftentimes black conservatives come across as, you know, you've seen her speak at least one other time before. She seemed to me to be saying things calculated to piss people off. I don't know. I don't believe she actually thinks that stuff.
Hmm.
So that's why I would cancel her, because she cheapens our debate and she makes us all dumber.
Wow.
Now, when I say
I wouldn't cancel. I can't think of anyone. I wouldn't cancel anyone. I think anyone can say what they want.
No, yeah. I mean, I think people can still say what they want. I think the canceling part is that you no longer have a platform and a crowd to say it to.
Hmm.
So yeah, I don't think, you know, we're going to cancel you, and now we're going to make it, you know, make it such that you can't support yourself. We're just going to make your life hell. No. I think we say we're going to cancel you, which means we're just not going to, you know, if the Candace Owens show is coming on, I'm out flocking to watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing about free speech. Everyone's free to say what they want. They just, forced to be heard.
Yeah. You have to deal with the consequences too. I mean, just because you have the right to say, open your mouth and say whatever you want, but you can't be mad when your words provoke a reaction of people who have the same level of free speech as you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to talk about cancel culture
if we don't get canceled, if you didn't get us canceled by your homophobic words, then we're going to talk about it next week.
Hey guys, guys and gals, I'm not homophobic.
What about people who aren't guys and gals?
Everybody's either guy or gal. What are you saying? That
even Jesus Christ, are you trying? You are trying.
No, I'm not. The overwhelming.
Joe, we better just move on. We better just move on.
Stop. Yeah, I'll just stop.
I got something that's going to make everybody forget about that.
Huzzah. You can't say it fast enough.
This is just one of those crazy, crazy side effects or something that is a response to this COVID, the COVID-19 pandemic that we've somehow managed to live through. You know, there's all these rules and restrictions that are, you know, everything's happening in phases. You can do this, you can do that, but you can't do this, you can't do that.
Yeah, I am surprised to learn that you guys just started being mandated to wear masks.
Yeah, yeah.
That was mandated to us back in March. We've been running around with masks since then. I've got like four or five of them.
I don't have any mask, man. I'm going to have to try to find one.
Just wrap a t-shirt around your face.
Hmm. Okay.
But you were. Yeah, I never thought.
No, that's a good point. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I think that North Carolina, because my buddy lives in North Carolina, and I think they just got the mandate, and then I made fun of him, and then the very next day we got the mandate, so he made fun of me.
Well, serves you right.
But anyway, here we go. South Korea football team, FC Seoul.
Quick question: why is Korea popping up in our conversations twice? Last week,
that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
Since it's funny that you said popping up.
Okay.
FC Seoul was said it had been handed a 100 million KRW fine. That's $81,300 for us Americans. Mm-hmm. After being accused of placing sex dolls in its stands to add to the atmosphere during a closed match.
But what atmosphere were they trying to add to? This is soccer we're talking about, right?
Yeah. I guess they wanted to, indicate that there's a crowd there, man.
So they use sex dolls?
Yeah, but these, I'm looking at this picture, and these ain't like the, sucky Susie $20 blow-ups that you get at the Lion's Den off the truck.
That's a very specific spot in Southwest Ohio.
Oh God, I was hoping that it was like a national thing, but all right, busted.
Yeah. You might,
but these I'm looking at this picture, and these dolls look—they don't look quite like real dolls, but these don't look cheap either.
Let's see, what's the name? I want to see a picture of this.
Go to the. This is on CNN, and it's called South Korea Sex Dolls Fine. Yeah.
Right, quick question. So anyway, are they Asian sex dolls, or are they?
Oh yeah, they're Asian. And the cool thing is that they're wearing masks.
Mm-hmm.
They'd have probably gotten away with it, but there's like this one sex doll in the background who's like wearing a white T-shirt, and she's obviously not wearing a bra, and it's apparently very cold in. In this building.
So it was so cold that it made it blow. I mean, it caused a blow up doll to become nipply.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Sporting events around the globe have been halted because of coronavirus, but South Korea's K-League is one competition that is pushing ahead with matches without spectators.
Mm-hmm.
But FC Seoul sparked controversy on Sunday during its home match against Gwangju in South Korea's top football championship, with the club being accused of using sex dolls to fill its stands. The club apologized, and the K-League has handed down a 100 million KRW fine over the incident, according to a spokesperson for the team.
Somebody should shake that man's hand. Whoever came up with that idea, that was a great idea. We should be having sex dolls in the stands. And if your team wins, you get to take one home.
I'll take that over a bobblehead any day.
Yeah.
FC Seoul told CNN on Thursday it would humbly accept the decision. The K-League did not immediately respond to CNN's request for comment. Fans criticized the club online and said it had blown the chance to show off K-League to an international audience.
Blown?
Don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of lame. It's not as if these dolls are like... When you first told me, I was envisioning naked sex dolls in the stands. Just the bodies without clothing. But these are all of them right here. They're at the nipply one. Clothed, fully clothed.
Yeah.
They shouldn't have been fined for that. I mean, the proper place for this type of... For this would be, how we're talking about it right now, as in... hey, the end of a pretty intense show, and we're just talking about something that's light and fun.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah,
some of the world is losing its sense of humor, Brian.
The world has lost it. Yeah, you're right. It has lost its sense of humor, and that's That's sad, man. In our youth, not to go off on a tangent, but, you know, and when we were younger, you know, there were hilarious comedians that just, they couldn't make it. They couldn't cut it today. They'd be canceled before they got started. And
which ones?
Oh, my goodness, Joe. Eddie Murphy's first three stand-up routines.
Yeah.
Couldn't happen today. Canceled. Couldn't happen today. Yeah. George Carlin. Oh, Sam Kinison for sure. Yeah, gone. There's just Andrew Dice Clay, you know, even though he was always just a shtick. I mean, the character that we know as Andrew Dice Clay was just that, just a character. Its purpose was to be over the top and outrageous.
Hickory dickory dock.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's not happening. You just can't do it. So it's unfortunate. It's unfortunate. But until a point is reached where there's a backlash, which may or may not happen, but it's just gone. So
I actually think that the fact that we're talking about it is the very beginning of a backlash. Things like that typically occur, start off at a very, very, very small level. And, you know, other people hear it and it makes sense. And from there it grows. That whole, like, you can't kill an idea. That's what that is.
Yep. I hope you're right.
Of course I'm right. I'm Joe High.
So
I haven't said that in a while.
Forgive me. Yeah. Well, all right, Joe. We're coming in at around an hour and a half. Yeah. So,
and after we
that's not bad. Do you you have anything you want to say before we wrap things up, or are we good? I think it was a good show.
Yeah, great show. Any parting shots? Neither Brian nor myself are homophobes. Any reference to either of us being a homophobe was done purely in jest. Ditto for anything else we may have said that was offensive to anyone. Please realize we're just having fun and wanting to entertain some folks at the same time.
That's absolutely right.
Is that something we should say before each show?
I don't know. If it is, it's kind of sad that we feel compelled to, but. This is the first time that I've been putting myself out on the internet, man.
Same here.
I listen to a lot of podcasts but I'm not a podcaster in the sense that this is my job. I don't have a job right now, but I'm hoping to get one real soon. And I'd hate to not get a job or to lose a job because of something that I said on a silly podcast. You know, I don't have hate in my heart for anybody, man. I love everybody. You know, I just, everybody's free to do, you know, let everyone's freak flag fly as far as I'm concerned.
High and wide.
But, you know, still, no one should be, excluded from scrutiny if it's deserved.
Yeah,
so.
But you're so much a better person than I am because I'm like, yeah, we should cancel this person and cancel that person. And yeah, all those guys, they got to go, light them up. And you're like, oh, I got heart, love my heart for everybody. I'm like, no. This person's got to go. That person's got to go. Friggin' Mr. Lee, Robert E. Lee, he and his you know, all of them got to go. I'm just lining them up.
I've softened in my old age, Joe.
I mean, one of us had to say it right. Okay.
You used to call me Hang 'em High Newman.
Oh yeah.
And now I'm not even a hardcore for the death penalty like I used
to
be.
You're like all hugs and cuddles, Brian. Now what has happened, man? You freaking cough. That's what it is. Yeah, we need to. You know, yeah. That's what it is. You put your finger on it.
Next week, I promise I'll switch back to the Jameson or the Johnny Walker.
We probably got to make sure you pound a few before we start. You know,
Joe, nobody wants
just,
that.
Just before, I mean, you probably know just to the point where right before you start to slur, you were. But no.
If I'm anything, I'm chatty. Okay. And we would have that 5-hour podcast.
Well, if that happens, it'll be a good time. I'm sure we'll make it. You know, find ways to make it entertaining. Good show, Mr. Newman.
Good show, Joe. I'll let you go. Take care, and we'll do this again in 7 days.
7 days. Look forward to it. Bye.
Bye-bye.